today on Anchored in the Word.
That idea of starting off small and growing, working itself into the whole idea. And he's given this parable as the idea of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand this regarding the kingdom of God, regarding your ministry that you have. It's a very important fact to remember in your ministry, because if you don't get this, you're going to be very discouraged. You can get angry at people because they're not growing fast enough.
But I'm anchored deep in your clinging love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. When a plant drops its seeds, those seeds will lie dormant for a period of time before sprouting, and growth is slow. It takes time to become a strong plant. And in today's teaching, we'll find that our spiritual lives are the same way. Listen as Pastor Bill shares his own testimony and tells us how Paul sowed seeds through his ministry. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
You know, in this walk that we have, we're going to be discouraged at times. We are. In the ministry that God's called us to. By the way, not just the pastors in the ministry, we're all in the ministry. You have a sphere of influence. Paul's ministry here, as we'll look at, is twofold. One, he's throwing out seeds, the gospel, telling people about Jesus, that they would come into the kingdom. And the second part of the ministry is once they're in the kingdom, you teach them about Jesus and you grow them up in the kingdom, making disciples. Now, what we're looking at here is a picture of a man's faithfulness, of his twofold ministry, and not only that, we see at the end the fruit of his ministry. In three verses. And Paul had a tough time when he was walking the earth. He was very much called into the ministry on that road to Damascus that day. He's a Jewish man. And, you know, even today, I mean, you could say about Jews and Christians that we serve the same God. Because that's really the truth. You can't say that about any other, quote, religion. I mean, even ones that would call themselves an offshoot of Christianity, because the God of the Bible that they're serving, even the Jesus of the Bible, is a different one. So in a sense, we're serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as far as Jews and Christians. But the truth of the matter is, the Jews are in the same problem as any other non-believer. They don't know Jesus. And so they're going to perish unless they receive Christ. So having the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob isn't enough. You must be born again, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of God. And so we see in verse 8, Paul speaking now in the synagogue. That was his way of doing things. He would first show up on the scene and he would go right to the synagogue. He was Jewish. He'd go to talk to the Jews to try to win some for Christ. And it says in verse 8 that he went into the synagogue and he spoke boldly for 3 months. That would be 3 months worth of Sabbath, 12 or 13 weeks probably, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. This idea concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Now, this idea of the kingdom of God, because regarding faithfulness, there's something here in verse 8 that we need to understand regarding the kingdom of God and regarding faithfulness. One of the keys to faithfulness is understanding this idea of this part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus talked about it, this idea, and we talked about the things, the way things grow, out of Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I want you to hear what Jesus said. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And then Jesus goes on to speak about, and you've probably heard this, the parable of the mustard seed. Mark 4:30 says, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, in another gospel, when this same parable is talked about, he goes on to talk about, he says, the kingdom of God is like, and he uses the idea of a loaf of bread being cooked, and he says, you put a little bit of leaven in it, a little bit of yeast in it, and it permeates the whole loaf, right? Those of you that have baked know how that works. Now, it's the idea that he's communicating is this idea of something that starts off small and gets bigger. You know, a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. He's making the point. It starts off little, real small. You can't get any smaller, apparently, than a mustard seed as far as seeds go. But then it grows up into something big and it becomes useful, something that the birds can nest themselves in. And so this idea, even in, eventually it says, when you think of a loaf, you put a little bit of leaven and eventually it works its way through the whole loaf. And that idea of starting off small and growing, working itself into the whole idea. And he's given this parable as the idea of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand this regarding the kingdom of God, regarding your ministry that you have. It's a very important fact to remember in your ministry, because if you don't get this, you're going to be very discouraged. You can get angry at people even because they're not growing fast enough. Or you can be judgmental. Maybe you're the one that says, well, they're in the kingdom, they're not in the kingdom. Because the idea of God, the way that he works in each one of our lives, is when the seed is planted in us, and by faith we respond, there's a process then that starts, and it's a process of growing, a process of maturing in Christ once you come into the kingdom. And this is a process. And Paul talked about, when he used illustrations in the Bible, he said the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And the idea that's being portrayed there, really, is that farming is hard work. There must be a lot of hard work involved in farming. And if a farmer didn't understand that when he started, you could be discouraged. So it is hard work we're involved in, but there's also a process. There's a thing called patience as we wait here, as we throw out the seeds of the gospel and the seeds of God's word, and they bear forth fruit. If you're expecting a quick crop, a Jack and the Beanstalk kind of ministry, you're going to be discouraged. I got to tell you, a lot of times in the past, people apparently, I'm thinking of one pastor in particular, his church, I remember when he planted his church, it grew like crazy, sort of a Jack and the Beanstalk thing. And you know, that pastor ended up falling and he fell into sexual sin and all that stuff. And you look at the picture and you say, well, how did that happen? Now, I'm just saying that fast growth isn't always a great thing. So God knows what he's doing in each situation. But here's the idea of this idea of the kingdom of God, as we're teaching and learning about the kingdom of God. It's a process of growth. And when Jesus was telling his disciples about that idea of the seed, it's small, but it's going to grow. And that takes time. It takes time to permeate throughout that lump. But know this, that God does all things well. And even though we are in charge of throwing out seeds, by the way, that's very much what our ministry is to throw out seeds, the seeds of God's word. And we have a twofold ministry. We're not just to do evangelism, not just to give out the gospel and to win people to Christ. But then once they come into the kingdom, what do we do with them? We spend time with them. We see that modeled here by Paul. But remember, it's God who brings the increase. Some would water, some would plant, but God who brings the increase. And we look back at verse 8, and we see that Paul was persuading and concerned, and persuading and reasoning regarding the things of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to know something, that he was telling them about Jesus. He was there for probably 13 weeks. 13 Sabbaths is 3 months. And he probably had a 13-week series on who is the Messiah. And that's basically what he's telling them, and trying to convince them that this Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, who claimed to be the Messiah, in fact, is he. And, of course, reasoning from the Old Testament and from the Scriptures to them for 13 weeks. Now, so the ministry of reconciliation, he's throwing out seeds now to bring them into the kingdom. Now, verse 9 shows us the results of his ministry and the results of throwing out seeds, the gospel of reconciliation. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's telling others that Jesus Christ came and took upon himself the sin of the world. He died on that cross. His sacrifice was enough to reconcile you to God. Then he rose from the dead to prove, in fact, that he is who he claims to be. And if you believe in him, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You won't perish. Now, that's the good news of the kingdom. But verse 9 shows us the results of this. In the context, he's in the synagogue. He's preaching for 3 months. And this is the result of 3 months of heartfelt preaching, preaching truth. Verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed. So the first thing I want us to see is as a result of this 3 months of preaching. Now, have you ever had somebody God put in your path where you felt like, man, I've spent 3 months talking to this person, 3 months I'm pouring into this person, and this is the result that you get? They become hardened to the gospel. That's exactly what happened. And why they were hardened is that they didn't believe. They did not believe. And the result was, when the seeds were thrown out, some believe and some won't. And as a result comes the hardened heart. There comes a hardness of heart to a rejection of God's seed. And by the way, get used to this. In your ministry of reconciliation, they're going to speak evil of you. The people speak evil of you? When you're in this ministry, that's what happens. Not everyone, by God's grace, won't, but there will be some. It says that they spoke evil of the way. What is the way? Well, the way is what they called Christians, the early Christians. That's what they were called, the way. They were called the way. I remember getting my first Bible that I can remember getting was given to me by a Catholic back in 1976, and it was called the way. It was the New Living Translation. I wish you could find that Bible, but it was called the way, and I found very much read for the first time and believed the way for the first time. Read the New Testament twice through that book, The Way, and really got to, for the first time in my life, I'd gone from Catholic non-believer to atheist. Somebody gave me a Bible and God did a work, and I became to see that this stuff is real. But you know what? My testimony is that was in 1976. April of 1976. I remember that Bible. It said it right in there. May these words guide you as they have guided me. April of 1976. Do you know that for until 1992, from 76 to 92, I drifted in the world, had a form of godliness denying its power. I did all kinds of different things, had all kinds of philosophies thrown into this New Testament that I'd read and really believed and said, hey, I believe in this now. For the first time, this stuff fits, it makes sense, and I believe it. But you know what? I wasn't walking with Jesus. And I got to tell you something. I'm glad that I didn't die between 76 and 92 and test the grace of God. You know what I mean by that? Because according to what the scriptures say, I was living a life that wasn't going to inherit the kingdom of God. Although I had this belief, that's true, that stuff really happened. But I wasn't walking. And my life was a mess. I had God in my back pocket, so to speak. I had my insurance policy for that many years. And I'm just grateful that God is gracious and God is merciful. And he put up with me. I think that's 17 years. Do the math from 92 to 76. What does that come out to be? Whatever it is. It was a long time. And I wasted a lot of time, a lot of God's time. I learned lessons along the way that, you know, that God allowed me to learn and through that period of time. But the kingdom of God was growing somehow in me. And it wasn't until 1992 that really somehow something happened. And it ended up really, I heard the word of God being preached on the radio as I was looking for my talk radio station. And on comes Greg Laurie. I didn't know who Greg Laurie was. But he was preaching the word of God. And I stopped right there because, you know, there was something within me now that was bearing witness. And I didn't even know that kind of talk. And that's Christianese to what was being said. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. It's not talk radio, but it's a different kind of talk. And I remember hearing that preaching and thinking, I've never heard church like that before. I just knew the Catholic Church to that point. I'd never heard the gospel preached. But my spirit was bearing witness. There was water being thrown on these seeds that had been in this ground for so long that really weren't bearing any fruit, I can tell you that. And God had seen fit to rewater these seeds again. And sure enough, you know, at the end of his, I don't remember a whole lot of what he said. I just know I liked it. It sounded good. It felt good even, what he was saying. And at the end of the thing, he mentioned Calvary Chapel and come on down on a Monday night or something. And that was the seed that was planted in me. And God was doing another work. And several months later, a friend of mine and me actually went to that service that night on a Monday night where he was speaking. And God began a series of events that would bring me to this place in my life today. And here I am. And many years later, and to see what God has done. And it's a great thing, you know, for us that he's given us a memory. And then we can look back and see what God has done. That's the reason he gave us a memory, by the way. Not to think back of all the negative things and get beat up by them, but to see the progress that he is, the faithfulness that God has shown in our own lives through time. We can't see ahead, but he has given us the ability to see backwards. Well, up until the older you get, the harder it seemingly is to see backwards. Well, I'll tell this to you, though. Even people with Alzheimer's disease, which you could say, or dementia, even those kinds of people that you think, boy, their memory's shot. I'm going to tell you something. Those people can even have memories of things they did when they were little kids. So God even spares even those things, even in a person's life that has dementia. So he uses the memory for a mighty thing. But the idea that what I'm trying to convey to you this morning is this idea of the kingdom of God is something that starts off small and grows. Why is that important to us? Why is that important to us in our ministries? Because if you don't understand that concept, number one, you're going to be discouraged when you are planting seeds and they're not growing fast enough for you. Or you may say, oh, they'll never get this. I'm so discouraged today, I'm giving up because I'm tired of throwing out the seeds and this person's never going to get this. I'll tell you what, I'm glad God didn't say that to me, about me. And maybe some of you were quick studies. Man, the first time you heard the gospel, you responded and you've walked with the Lord your whole life. Well, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. That'll save you some of the pain that others of us had to go through in life. But the truth of the matter is, it's a growing process. And God has long-suffered with each one of us. And so he wants us to be long-suffering too in our ministry. He wants us to be faithful. Faithful to the people that God puts in our path, our children, our wives, our husbands, our sphere of influence, whoever the people that God has brought in our path. But the reality is some are going to be hardened to the gospel. And as a result, it says they spoke evil of the way. And I want you to know something. I don't think it's by a mistake that Jesus called himself the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I just want to say this a little bit. It's a little bit off of what I'm saying, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to know this, in case you don't know this. He's the only way to salvation. Being a Jew isn't good enough. You must have Jesus as your Savior to be saved. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Just having a knowledge of God, that's why I'm glad I didn't die in 1992 when I really committed my heart to Christ. Because you should have a changed life. My life really wasn't changed back in the 70s. Oh, I had some knowledge that I didn't have previous, but I didn't really have a changed life. But true belief in him will bring a changed life. And obviously we're all changing at different rates. It's not good to compare your servants' masters. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, as he was having a talk with Peter about him and how much he loved him and different things. And Peter said, well, what about him? He's pointing a finger at John. What about him? He says, you don't worry about him. You follow me, he said. Don't get your eyes on the other disciples and keep track of their spiritual growth. You follow Jesus. You follow me, he would say. So if you want to keep tabs on someone, look back at your own life and see how much God's done in your life. Take a self-assessment in that regard. But this idea of Jesus calling himself the way, when people speak evil, now they were speaking of a sect of people, Christians. Remember this, Jesus said it, they're not speaking evil of you, they're speaking evil of me, he would say. He is the way. When they were speaking evil of the way, they were speaking evil of Jesus. They didn't understand it. Their hearts were hardened, their eyes were darkened, they couldn't see the truth. And so they attacked the messenger. And so in this ministry of reconciliation that you were involved in, remember first that it's like a seed, the kingdom. The seeds you're planting, they will grow. If you're faithful to continue to water, just throw out seeds. And don't just live off of the results. Just know that you're going to be judged on your faithfulness to throw out seeds and to make disciples. Yes, people are going to speak evil of you. And as a result, what did Paul do? God's not saying to you, just put yourself in front of these people and let them speak evil of you, let them do this to you, let them beat you up every day. Well, in this particular case, Paul made a decision for a change of venue, as we see in the second part of chapter 19, verse 9 there. It says, as they were speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he, Paul, departed from them. So there will be a time when God says to separate. There is a time when you're throwing out those seeds and there's not going to be any more. The Bible talks about throwing pearls before swine. There's going to be a time when God will say, okay, the fullness of time, you're going to move on now. And what he does when he withdrew, it says, rather he departed, it says, verse 9, he departed from them. In other words, he stopped going to that particular synagogue and withdrew the disciples. He took some people with him. And then it says that reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And so he changed venues. He's gone from the synagogue, now he's going to the school of Tyrannus. And I like what somebody said. They said, you know what? This idea of having church in a school, we did that for a lot of years in this body here. Having church in a school is no new idea. It's not, because it was first done here in the book of Acts. And every single, look what it says there about this idea of meeting with the disciples. He reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus. If you go to the next verse, this continued for 2 years. 2 years of every day, 2 straight years of meeting every single day. Now, I did the math on this, and if it was 1 hour for 2 years, that's 720 hours. Is that right? 720 or 730, whatever it is. You get the idea. And if you take that, if you come to church once a week, that's 14 years of church they did in 2 years. If you're just sitting and listening to a message. And I'm here to tell you that it was probably more than an hour that he preached to them every day. So you can do the math and think about this, but I want you to see something. As a result of Paul's faithfulness to go to the synagogue first and then go to the school of Tyrannus, God opened a door there to go there, and he took, and every single day he was pouring in to those people that were already saved. In other words, their seeds were very small. They were what we call baby Christians, and the kingdom of God had taken root in their heart, and now they had to go and you water that. You go and you give them the word of God, and there's going to be this growth happening with disciples. And that's what Paul was doing. And, you know, I can't help but think of, you know, we're all in the ministry, and think of discipling and the idea of children. And by the way, it never ends with children. If you're young parents and you think, oh boy, till they're 18, it's sort of like that's your battle cry when they're out of the house or whatever it is. It doesn't end there. Yes, it's going to be a total different way. It's a leaving and cleaving when they get married. It's going to be a different relationship. But the discipling never ends. It's a lifelong thing when they leave the house. I love this saying. I was at a wedding one time and the pastor said, I loved it. It was prophetic. I know when he spoke it, he said, talking about leaving and cleaving, they will leave the house, but they will come back and they will bring others with them.
Pastor Bill will continue teaching through the book of Acts the next time you join us. You know, programs like Anchored in the Word can be a huge blessing that God uses in the lives of countless people. But we must always be careful about just hearing God's Word. Remember what James said, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. As you join us each day here on Anchored in the Word, it's our hope and prayer that you would not only hear God's Word, but that you would be a doer of God's Word, that you would take the lessons that you're learning here on Anchored in the Word and apply them to your everyday life. We want to help you continue to apply God's Word to your life. We have resources to help you in this journey. Log on to anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through Acts. That's all the time we have for today. Make plans to join us again for the next edition of Anchored in the Word.